1, 2.
Hello, dear friends. We're starting our Sunday webinar as usual with Dr. Michael Eitman. Boris Wozorkovsky, Simon Kozlov, and myself, Simon Vinokur, were the instructors for the International Academy of Kabbalah. Go ahead and ask your questions live, and we will address them. Today's topic is, which foundations will support us after the crisis? Which values? It's more or less clear for a person how to live prior to the crisis. His values are family, perhaps his small business, going to work and making money and all that. And now it's not clear. There's a dead end of sorts. People are starting to come out of the crisis gradually, but it's still not clear. There might not be any travel, airplanes are grounded. What values will a person exist and the world will exist after the crisis? What do you think? And what values should people live by?
My personal opinion is that a person is going to have new values, because all this traveling, flying from one corner of the world to the other, and running around buying, shopping, and all these other activities for which all you're doing is you're working, you're earning and spending, you're earning and spending. It's all pennies. And then others are making billions off of you doing it. I think that all these things will even out, flatten out, if not fully, then at least it will fall to a certain normal level. The balloon will deflate, so to speak. So I hope that things will be better.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry, I'd like to mention that you can ask questions in Italian, German, French. We are promised that there will be a translation, so you can ask questions in Spanish, Italian, and German. What do you think, what kind of values do you think will rule in the world?
I think that first and foremost, a person is going to look for value in his life, and that in itself constitutes a value. He will try to find the answer to the question, what is the meaning of my life, what do I live for, and that in itself is valuable. So I think that we're on the right path. But from here on, everything depends on people. To not fall prey to a lie, falsehood, and to some scam where they're being taken advantage of by others, by thieves who are just trying to earn yet another billion into their bank account. So I hope that people are going to start looking for higher values. And higher values, they're not in our life, they're above our life. What's the point of looking for something here when it's so finite? We see that in life, we don't have happiness. We need something higher, something more permanent, something more perfect. To the extent that a person can look around himself at this whole life and beyond it, to that extent, he must give an answer to his question, why is life? If we only cared about our animal existence, like animals do, who simply don't see anything else, anything greater, then that would be correct. Then we would instinctively provide for ourselves like animals do, and we would be satisfied with it, and that would be sufficient. But if we see slightly above it, and we don't want to close ourselves into the narrow boundaries of this world from birth to death, no more than that, then we need to answer the question, what is the point of this life? Where is the answer to it? Where is the quenching of this question of the thirst of why do I live? What do I live for? Why do I exist? Where is the meaning? And so on. If a person starts feeling these questions, and he can find the answer. He is capable. Nature doesn't do anything without purpose. So if in our biological existence, we start conceiving a question about existence in a non-biological existence, then we are capable, we are able to get the answer, to find it. And there are people in whom this question pops up again and again, very pressingly, and then there are other people in whom it doesn't. It's some more time needs to pass before they ask themselves this question, or they can't run away from it. They're going to be forced to find the answer. It's not simple, but the very appearance of this question, which arises in us as a call of nature, it's a big deal.
You mentioned the end of life, and about this, there's a question. Would the end of life not give meaning specifically to the ideas of endless life?
I don't understand. What's the point? So I die like an animal and that's it?
Well, there's a certain poignancy to it.
It's like Marxist. You don't live for others and others won't live for you. That's not the meaning of life. You cannot have meaning in something that ends. You cannot have meaning of life in life itself. That's a Marxist philosophy, pure and primitive, materialistic, when there is nothing aside from matter, and when you don't have the answer to the question, then of course you can content yourself with it. You persuade yourself that you're satisfied with the answer, and that's the end of it.
There's a question from YouTube. If I desire to receive pleasure, what kind of values there can be besides pleasure and reception?
The thing is that the meaning of life is in receiving pleasure that's in life. But is there anything beyond that? Do you see? Because a person, he does occupy himself. Of course, it's better to receive pleasure than to suffer. Everyone's going to agree with that. But that's not the meaning in and of itself. So we can't say that that's the meaning of life. Nature didn't create us for us to simply live, to enjoy these years that were given us. In our development, there is a demand that was created. What is the soul for?
I think Balaslam is offering us to raise the bar in regards to this. I'll read an excerpt from Balaslam piece. There is no other cure for humanity but to assume the commandment of providence to bestow upon others in order to bring contentment to Creator in the measure of the two verses. The first of these laws is love your friend as yourself, which is the attitude of the work itself. This means that the measure of work to bestow upon others for the happiness of society should be no less than the measure imprinted in man to care for his own needs. Moreover, he should put his fellow person's needs before his own, as it is written in the article Matan Torah. And then he explains, in relation to this message, I'd like you to explain to us how can we move on from these pragmatic calculations that no one has left anymore, nor rich nor poor? The understanding of this bar that B'Shalom is talking about, that people need to accept upon themselves, to take upon themselves these laws of the upper providence, to feel the foundation in some of these values. What can you offer us as values for to support our life?
I would say this. Ascend to the next level of perception of reality, it amounts to us rising to perfection, eternity, and most importantly, to a single reality. Integral, common, universal, mutually complementing. Meaning we must rise and feel nature as integral, absolutely whole, organism, a system. If we begin to feel nature in this way, then we're going to find our place in it. Where is my cell in this integral, closed nature? And then I will discover myself, the meaning of my life, the meaning of my existence with respect to this whole huge unification of individuals. And then everything's going to be clear. The most important is to separate from my individualistic ego and to look at all nature, all of nature, and to see it, look at it in an integral view. When we see the whole picture as one, you're going to perceive nature completely differently. You're not going to perceive this, that, and this, but you're going to see the whole picture, the integrality of it, and you'll be able to understand yourself much better. Where is my position? Where is my place in it? If I feel that I am separate from others, then I am not perceiving myself correctly. I am in a consciousness that is detached from this great picture of nature. How do I now perceive this picture correctly? That is what I want. And if I begin to perceive it correctly, then I will see my place in it. I will discover what do I need to become integrally connected with everyone. Where is my connection with others? And then I'm going to enter into a new level of connection with others and with this whole integral nature. I will understand the purpose of my existence and its existence. Otherwise, I don't understand anything, nothing of it. I look at it and I'm just seeing it all just exist. And that's it, and I exist in it. Why? What's the purpose? I don't know.
You're being asked a question from Facebook. How do you speak about the nature as a function of my qualities, as if something depends upon me? Aren't there certain immutable natural laws that act regardless of my perception?
Yes, of course. But I want to perceive all of it. And since I only perceive it in my perceptions, then in my sensations, and I need to calibrate my sensations somehow and start perceiving the integral nature, all of nature. Only in this way will I be able to perceive it.
So I, as a part, need to feel the wholeness of nature.
Yes, of course. That is why Kabbalah says that in order to perceive all of nature, you need to relax, so to speak, to remove your ego, to rise above it. Then you're going to sense nature not through your ego, but through the actual system that exists outside of you. You're not going to perceive you as the individual who exists, but the creature that exists in the eternal, perfect dimension. You're going to perceive not you, but the whole picture, all of its laws, all of its functions, this entire great system. How everything is moving, there are so many moving pieces, and they're all integrated and communicating together, and they're in perfect integration. And then you're going to feel yourself in this perfect integration, and you're going to start to sense what is missing, what else you need to contribute into this system that, as it travels through your subjective perception, your ego, it gives you a completely different picture.
Question from London. On the next degree of perception of reality, how will a person, a Kabbalist, combine the perfect reality with this worldly reality, which is imperfect?
He includes it within, and that's why we are these creatures who exist in both worlds, to the extent that we can enter into a connection with this integral system and exist in this world as well. To that extent, we cannot exit this egoistic material world.
He feels a certain melancholy about detaching himself from this evil world.
The truth is, you shouldn't think of this world as wicked or bad. No. It's a special system in which we exist, and by the way, it only exists in us, if we're talking about the truth. It only exists in us. It's only perceived in us. That is why we must only correct ourselves. There is nothing nothing exists outside of me that I can perceive as anything that's not my own and subjective. It all exists in me, in us, and you all exist in me, and no more than that. And I exist in you. That complicates the general picture. Sure, but
many are asking to dedicate a webinar to perception of reality. Are people really want you to talk about that?
Except, sure, no problem, but we need to go through it systematically.
We now have questions from Mach 1 and Mach 2, so we have lots of friends, 220, 230 people in Mach 1. Please go ahead. Hello, teacher. Irina from Moscow is asking, how is it possible to attain spiritual adhesion with other people?
To the extent that you rise above our world, to the extent that they rise above our world, to some sort of a common platform, common floor, you can meet them. And then you'll be able to understand, to feel each other. You will see each other in a spiritual field. In the spiritual world, there are 125 degrees, as we have said many times. And at one of these degrees, you'll be able to meet. That's up to you. It's in your power.
Another question, Yelena is asking, how can I accept and understand other people, and among them there are murderers and maniacs?
That all depends on how correctly you view the world. Don't think that you're changing, but the world isn't changing. To the extent that you'll be changing in your perception of the world, to that extent, the world in your perception is going to change as well. And as a result, you'll be able to see the whole world as absolutely good and corrected and perfect. Because you will have changed. you assess the world, appraise it in accordance with your own correctedness or corruptedness.
Asema from Almaty is asking, the a school of integral education that will be opened by your teachers, but your students will be called, will be built in your name, called by your name?
In my name? Why? What would be the point? First of all, I didn't invent anything new. So there is no credit that I am owed in any way. Don't try to attribute it to me. Our organization is named after my teacher, Rabash, and that's what we named ourselves here in Petah Tikva in Israel. I don't need anything else. After I've taught a couple of thousand students, they will take it from there and go further. And I am just going to dissipate in them. That is my feeling. Go ahead.
Thank you. We'll pass this on to others. Mark 2, Sasha. Hello. Question from Victor from Ukraine. Which values does nature wish upon people by sending them this crisis?
Well, first of all, the value is to get out of the swamp where we have been, to just shake the old world off, to leave it behind. That's the first value. The second value is to shake off all of our previous businesses, matters, dealings, to do some sort of a reevaluation of those values and activities that existed, to do it unwittingly, if we don't want to do it ourselves, to see that nature is shaking us up in order to shake off all of the dirt, the filth, and to see that in the end, we're not going to be able to restore all of our small businesses that are built on servicing each other, because there won't be anyone to service. Gradually, we will all come to it. Our world that is rebuilding itself after the coronavirus, it's going to be different. It won't have a lot of those small businesses. We're going to have a lot of people left unemployed. And bit by bit, governments are going to need to start building a whole new system. Jobs, payments, occupations, how to occupy people, they're going to need to pay people, but to pay them ideally as a stipend, as the Wisdom of Kabbalah says, that people are going to study online, virtually through their TVs, about how to live in this world, how to perceive it, how to live in it, what the Wisdom of Kabbalah teaches. And in so doing, they're going to be building the correct society. And this is going to apply to 70-80% of the population, including schools, including the elderly, everyone, senior citizens. Outside of those, maybe 20-30%, even less, that are necessary for maintaining our level of existence on a normal level. This is what we're going to need to come to. Maybe we're going to need more than one coronavirus to make it happen. Maybe there's going to be a need for more and more, but in the end, that's what we're going to arrive at.
Question from Asima. Why will egoism submit only before fear?
Where else? The ego wants to fulfill itself with everything, everything, absolutely everything, except for fear, except for emptiness. That's the only thing it fears.
From Svetlana. How value of accountability for your own actions will help in advancing the world?
That depends on the extent to which we're going to perceive the world and society as one organism in order to be similar to nature and not be opposite, in opposition to nature, and to always get blows from it. We already see that we are destroying our world, and we can't do anything about it. Our ego is just pushing us towards destruction, and we're going to need to know how to change our behavior, which we can't do unless we change our nature. So that remains the biggest question. How do we change our egoistic nature? Without it, this little world is not going to sustain us. So now what do we do?
With many questions, we actually have 220 people on YouTube and 1,500 students in Facebook, watching us on Facebook. So there's a question from Facebook from Jim. What should we focus on in this new world of indefiniteness? The family, work, what?
I don't know. First of all, we're going to need to learn how to make money doing what others, you and others, actually need to be done. It may not be some exalted work, but the results of your labor are actually necessary for other people. That is essential. And second, outside of that, what do we need? We need family, we need a house, we need work in order to provide for the family. Outside of that, we need to be thinking only of spirituality, spiritual development. How to begin to feel the world, to perceive the world as it actually is and not distorted in our egoistic qualities. And then it's going to happen completely different.
Question in relation to this from Facebook. What do you think? A lot of men and women feel that values and values of life are not related to the Creator. And because life is hard right now, then all of the strength that people put in the future will not be about the purpose of life.
I can't say that. How can you say that there's meaning to something that ends? So then the meaning ends. What is the meaning in it ending? I don't understand it. Of course, family is important. It's important to actualize yourself in this world and getting a spouse, having kids, having a house, that this is where you exist. But that is a necessary condition in order to start growing from there and not remain in it, in your cocoon, in your nest. What is the point of that? Until they cart you out in a casket? I don't think that is the answer to meaning of life.
Another question. Why the purpose of life cannot be in life itself? We see from nature that all animal kingdoms exist in that way. How do people differ from animals in this way?
We already talked about that. If one exists on the level of birds and fish, then yes, if I'm the same kind of animal, then nothing else exists for me. Then I live this life, and I end it there when the life ends. But if I start feeling the question as to the meaning of life, then I need to start looking for answers for it, and then I need a method that can reveal the meaning of life to me. And that exists in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Either or people can go to religion and look for all sorts of methods to suit them. But that's their business.
Entirely different question from Netherlands. Why should small business cease to exist built on serving one another? There is a law. Go on and earn off each other. According to this model of communism where government pays its citizens, this is not your offering.
I'm not proposing any particular model. I'm just saying that people are not going to be able to open millions of small businesses. They're not going to have the desire for it. All these gift shops and trinkets, fashion stores, all sorts of travel here and there, people will gradually lose the desire to do these things that has been coming to them. You'll see for yourselves that no one is going to pressure anyone here. By no means. This is just our development that's going to bring us to a state when we're simply not going to desire it anymore. We're not going to need these shells, this game, this flirtation with life. We're going to care more about more important, pressing questions, more cardinal questions that we're going to need to solve. Let's hear questions. We have Italy, the women of Italy. Let's see how our translation department is going to work.
Ma nello stesso tempo scopriamo la nostra vulnerabilità e fragilità. Come lavoriamo con questi opposti? Grazie.
No, перевод.
Where is the translation?
Boris knows, is fluent in Italian, so. Please repeat the question. The translator didn't get it in time.
Vogliamo sapere che scopriamo il valore della vita in questa nuova fase, ma anche la nostra fragilità. Come lavoriamo con questi opposti? Grazie.
Moshe?
Ну, пускай переведет,
скажет. Кен, Маша, давай. Вопрос был такой.
The question was...
Есть две противоположности.
There are two opposites.
С одной стороны.
On the one hand...
Мы видим, насколько корона показала...
We see how the corona has shown us how frail our life is. On the other hand, how precious it is.
I don't understand the translation.
On the one hand, we have a contradiction. On the one hand, the coronavirus showed us the preciousness of human life. On the other hand, how easy it is to shake it. It's a contradiction.
So what? That's how it's always in life. Life itself doesn't have any value. And is very valuable on the other hand. It's a paradox that we cannot resolve because we don't understand the true value of life, which is not on the animal degree, it's on the spiritual degree, above the animal, because our spiritual degree is perfect and eternal. And only then we can superimpose and weigh all of our life's values and aspirations. But if we are simply speaking about our earthly regular life, then we don't know the value of our actions and we don't really know what is happening with us. We live, we wake up, go to work, come back, enjoy our kids, raise our kids and all that kind of stuff. What do we have in our life? Nothing. Only if we seriously want to figure out what the meaning of life is, then from that we begin to build on top of that our lives. And then we can start talking that, saying that we truly do exist. Let's go on.
Sochi, you go next. We see that even on one's deathbed, a man continues to think about foolishness and doesn't change his values. It's hard to imagine the scale that a crisis must take in order to change people. The question is, what changes, what pushes a person to change his values so radically?
To radically change one's life's values, that can happen only under the influence of the upper light, which raises a person a little bit above our world, pulls him out from his animalistic desires. And then a person starts to think, those desires that appear within him, those desires are no longer animalistic, but they're already human. The resulting from the next level of degree of nature, and then we can speak about the level of man, human. Otherwise, the desires of the person in this world, they're desires of this world, and he doesn't understand. What are you concerned about? You live, you die, okay, so that's just life. And only if within a person there appears a little bit of this light from above, which shines, illuminates, then in relation to that, he begins to ponder and make different decisions. So, who comes to us? Those people within whom these questions arise. They come from this other degree, so-called faith above reason. We live within our knowledge, within our reason. What exists, exists. And then the next degree is faith above reason. It's not faith, as we know, from religions. It's a next degree of perception of reality. And that is what we're learning right now on our daily lessons every morning. Oh, again, you have Mach 1 and Mach 2.
Nothing we can do. We have over 200 people there, so lots of questions. Mach 1, go ahead. Question from Max. The change of values means changing one's order of the day. In this transition period, how should we change our order of the day in order to be in better balance, equilibrium with nature's laws?
I think that through our studies, we can arrange your daily schedule. You can begin studying with us at 3 in the morning, our time. I have daily lessons from 3 to 6 in the morning, our time. Then I have lessons that, or workshops that I do with those people that write. Are writers, and then there's a lesson during lunchtime in our time, Israeli time. Then there's an evening lesson, and between those, there are all kinds of activities. So you can completely fill your time and not feel that you're in locked down by the quarantine.
Azad from Almaty, how do you connect these two unconnectable categories, like altruistic and egoistic?
They're connected in being one above the other, which is called faith above reason. When this altruistic category becomes more important than the egoistic one, you determine this in such a way when you study Kabbalah. And that is exactly what we're learning right now at our morning lessons.
Catherine from UK. If man is the force of bestowal, and woman is a force of reception, malchut, then why are there so many same-sex couples?
Well, the assumption, the question is incorrect. Men and women do not differ from each other, aside from their egoistic qualities. In men, these qualities are one way, and within women, they're in a different way. But both are egoists. The couples, are based on their egoistic qualities, and it has no relevance to spirituality.
We're passing the mic to Mark too. Question from Bella, Odessa. Why, in order to ascend, do you need to overcome something, a resistance?
What would you raise above then? The degree of your ascent above the egoism that exists within you that differs from the animalistic ones. Above this, you will raise, according to the spiritual degrees, what does it mean to rise? You will change the perception of this world to the perception of the spiritual world. That is called an ascent upon the degrees. But what do you think? You feel that on this degree you are ruling your world, and on the next degree upon which you want to ascend, you will need to accept that there's only one force in nature, which is called the creator, nature, however you want to, and only it controls the world, and you don't control anything. You desire only one thing, to adhere to this upper force.
Next question from Lydia Kiev. For Kabbalists, love and friendship, are those values? How does Kabbalah view love and friendship?
Love and friendship relate to people with whom I spiritually develop in our spiritual group. I mean, there could be a wife and kids, but those are completely different types of relationships.
Question from Maria, Moscow. How do you look at 5G and the information that's coming out of it? How do you look at the chips and 5G?
5G, I'm thinking of that as acceleration in 5G. And chipping of people, that's something, that's a novelty. That's novelty, and I'm not interested in this. It's not related to spiritual.
Question from Margarita. I'm curious, will money disappear in the future? If you have two apartments, are you going to need to give up one?
You don't owe anyone anything, and money will not disappear. They might change their essence. These won't be coins, perhaps, or papers, but money as a concept will not change because they're an equivalent to our communication.
And one question from Krishna. What will medicine do in the future? What towards which value should medicine develop?
Only in relation, regarding supporting one's life towards in his spiritual ascent. That's it. Let's move on then.
So we have a question from Facebook. Are you certain that you're giving correct answers to these questions?
Yes, I'm confident.
Lydia from Facebook is asking, how can I force myself to contain my emotions when they're basically flowing out of me?
Okay, well, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. To throw them around. It happens with me and with others.
Vladimir from YouTube is asking, what professions are the most altruistic?
The most altruistic person is the instructor of Kabbalah.
A question from a minute ago. It seems like most people are not yet ready to perceive the spiritual abstract values. Maybe we should think about how to popularize a certain code of behavior that most people would understand.
I understand you, my dear one, and I also feel this in certain ways, but when these problems come to us and the entire planet suffers from them, then of course there arises an understanding that we are part of this global, integral, mutual connection, and we will need to do something about this. And the fact that people aren't ready, and you can't, by the way, say that people are ready or not ready, they will never be ready for spiritual changes. There will not be ever ready for it. But life will force them. And we are beginning to see that. It's starting to happen. I think in this generation we'll see this.
So we have a question from Odessa about this, maybe. How can desires and demands disappear in the crisis? Is the crisis like a spring that affects it? What impacts the changing of desires?
He contradicts himself. The crisis doesn't come from above. It comes from within us. We have played enough. We have played too much with these toys, and now we're tired of them and are starting to throw them away. That is truly what is happening. We are within a sphere, nature. We're playing something until it begins to corrupt, begins to corrupt itself, and then the crisis comes, and I begin to realize that I cannot do it. I cannot interact with others in this way, and it comes from within us. We don't even realize it, and as a result, we see that you see what's happening. As a result, that we have come to a crisis in our relationships.
But what impacts the changing of desires? That's what he's asking about.
Upon the changes of our desires, acts a certain inability to it, dissimilarity of form to nature, to the upper world.
I have a question. Adil Amarov from Almaty, from Facebook. He asks, how many people corrected from the ego are needed to change the world, and when is this going to happen?
This world changes by all of us. Each one of us. In through their suffering or by trying to do something good and kind, this changes from person to person. The world constantly changes. Don't worry, just think about your correct participation and everything else will resolve itself.
Elvira asks from YouTube, how do we live after the quarantine? I feel scared coming out and just looking at other people, and I feel that they're scared looking at me.
I don't know, where is this?
It's not, she doesn't write where she's from.
I don't know, I don't see this, at least not here. Here it's opposite, actually. Once again, people are driving and walking around, but you can tell by them that everyone has changed a little bit. They're distancing themselves from one another a little bit. They're not crawling upon you as before. And perhaps gradually this understanding will come to a person how he needs to relate to others, considerate, be considerate that, well, now this is due to a virus that I'm afraid to get infected from another, but gradually from this state, we can come to a different state, to mutual respect, support, attention. It's very possible. I like these changes in the world, and we didn't pay a hefty price for them. We will come back to our regular lives, and we will see that we were rid of so many unnecessary things, businesses, activities. Go ahead.
I have a question from BB UK. Go ahead. Hello, we have a question from Tatiana. How do you preserve an inner association with religion while correcting yourself and the world around you?
I don't understand what religion has to do with this.
If you don't have the right society, as you recommend, having a Kabbalistic society, she has her own community.
This is her business. I can speak to her environment. I don't have such an environment, and I have no relationship to religions. So there's nothing I can recommend here. Next question.
Women's Global Group. Go ahead. Hello, dear Rav. You said that I exist in you and you exist in me. Today I was broadcasting live on Facebook, and one of the participants from Saudi Arabia said that the coronavirus brought us them to a terrible state. It's a rich country, but people are depressed. It's as if the virus rose by itself and brought the world to this crisis. How do we explain it to people, regular people?
You won't be able to explain it. All of this arises not from us passing these viruses to one another. They jump from one to another, from another to another, because we have a bad relationship with one another. And this happens in Saudi Arabia and in Israel and Russia, wherever. And there's nothing you can do until we change our relationships towards one another. This virus will not go away, and this relates to everyone, either in Cuba or Saudi Arabia or here in Israel. It doesn't matter.
Let's try Latin America 4.
Latin 4.
Buenas tardes, doctor Lyman. Tengo una pregunta. Toda nuestra vida se ha basado en construir algo para nuestros hijos. Yo llevo 5 años estudiando con usted y cada día me siento más feliz de estar acá y siento que este es el mejor entorno que puede existir y no lo cambio por nada. ¿Cuál es el legado que le debemos dejar a nuestros hijos? ¿Es lo que estamos construyendo todos juntos a diario o me debo preocupar por dejarle algo material, por dejarle la educación que enseñan en este mundo, o solo debemos persistir en este camino hasta el final de la corrección? Gracias.
The question is, all of our life we dedicate to correcting the ego, right? I've been studying Kabbalah for 5 years now. What can we leave to our children? What is the right correction that we can do?
We're trying to write out for our generation, for the future generations, of how to correctly use, the method of how to correctly use the egoistic forces and altruistic forces that exist outside of us in order to correct a person and to harmonize him with his environment and society around him. This is a method that we're trying to establish in this generation, and the next generation will begin to we're going to use it in a practical way.
Maybe one more question from Mach 1 and Mach 2. Елена from Perm asks, how do you see the near year, let's say, what the world will look like this autumn?
I don't think the virus will go away. It will mutate. It will change. Nature will continue to shake us up and will force us to continue to think what we need to do in order not to be ill and to weather these blows. And I would hope that we will consider these things in order to know how to correctly act with one another in nature. And counting how many ill we have now, or healthy ones, I don't think this has any meaning right now. We need to feel that all of the problems that we have to do with our incorrect interdependence, relationships, and it doesn't matter when this will happen, summer or in autumn. Of course, seasons do have their place, but these viruses are literally in line to reveal in us, within us.
Question from Natalia. Do our thoughts influence the world?
Yes, our thoughts influence the world, undisputably. Aside from thoughts, nothing influences the world. The world itself, everything that exists, is a thought. And we exist within this thought. And around us, there's just one thought and nothing else. There's no matter, no movement. Everything is in a thought.
One more question from Anastasia Tallinn. The more I delve into studying Kabbalah, the more doubts I begin to feel, starting from, is it all true that Kabbalah teaches me, and will I be able to ascend and to correct my ego? What would you recommend to new students like me?
Start doubting in a different way. Because only through that you will get to the truth.
And we have a question that we left until the end from YouTube. Natalia asks, so what are the true values and who can confirm that they are these true values?
A true value is in adhering to this perfect operant nature. That is the only real value that we have in our lives that we can attain. And nothing else is necessary. Understand that you are attaining perfection and eternity in adhesion to the upper nature. And there are no other questions. Everything is included within that. And I wish for you to start to feel and attain this. If not this time, the next time, doesn't matter. Still, we will climb up onto this degree. But it will be better for this to happen sooner rather than later. I wish you luck and health. Keep yourself safe.